Well, praise the Lord, church. Welcome to our Wednesday night live stream. Tonight we'll be continuing with our series on pitfalls. This is part three. Why don't you join me as we open in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to have the opportunity to study your word tonight, Lord, to learn from you and what your word and what it has to say about our lives and how to apply it. I pray you would speak through me this evening, Lord, and that you would reach to someone and speak into someone's life. In Jesus' name, amen. So our series has been focusing on Rehoboam, several factors throughout his life and his reign as king. Tonight, we'll be looking at how Rehoboam trusted himself over trusting God, having self-confidence over God-confidence. So Rehoboam was the grandson of King David. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. He placed his confidence entirely in God and trusted that God had his life under control. And we can see this in the Psalms that David wrote. In Psalms chapter 38, verse 15, it says, "For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God." Psalm 61, verse 2 says, "From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So by reading these, we come to the understanding that David had all his hope in God, all his trust. David knew he could rely on God to come through, and that he needed God's help in all situations. Despite David's failures, he always came back to God, relying on him for everything. David faced a lot of problems as king, but he always came back knowing that he just wanted to be led to the rock that was higher than him. And we know that he shared this with his son Solomon. We read this in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14, verse 26. It says, "In the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, and in his children and his children will have a place of refuge." Now, Solomon had a much easier reign than David. David faced a lot of problems, but Solomon watched his father navigate difficulties throughout his reign, and he did this by relying on the Lord. Throughout Solomon's life, he started focusing on God, but then he fell away. And it's because of that that the kingdom of Israel split into two. But we know that he came back because in the book of Ecclesiastes, which we believe was written by Solomon, he wrote that everything is vanity except for a relationship with God. He knew from the start to the end of his life that all good things come from above, and that his confidence should be in God. So if you would turn with me now to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, we're going to read verse 17. And it says this, "So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong for 3 years because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. So Rehoboam for 3 years walked in the way of David after God's own heart and in the ways of Solomon, having all his confidence in Jesus, in God. For 3 years he did this through some very difficult times, through the split of the kingdom of Israel into two nations and the abandonment of majority of the tribes of Israel who then followed after Jeroboam. Through this time, Rehoboam had to solidify his kingdom, but he did this in the strength of the Lord. We read that he relied on the Lord. He strengthened his kingdom and God blessed him for it. But something happened. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this, "Now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him." So Rehoboam rejected the ways of his father after 3 years. He forsook the law of the Lord. He turned and he walked the other direction. He began to place his confidence in the material things he had been blessed with by God while he was strengthening his kingdom. And he also put his confidence in himself and in his own ability. So to understand this change of heart that Rehoboam had, let's have a bit of a closer look at what happened in the kingdom of Israel. Rehoboam made some mistakes at the start of his reign, and he treated the children of Israel quite harshly, especially certain tribes. So they abandoned him to follow Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam wasn't a son of Solomon. In fact, he worked for Solomon, for King Solomon. So the children of Israel departed from Rehoboam and followed Jeroboam, and they created what we know as the Kingdom of Israel. And Rehoboam remained ruling over two tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, in what we now know as the Kingdom of Judah. And during this conflict, as we read, Rehoboam placed all his confidence in God, and he turned to God in his time of trouble for help. Because of that reliance on God, Rehoboam was made strong, and so was his kingdom. But once it was fully established, he saw that he was blessed. He had lots of things. He didn't need God anymore. He was in prosperity. He decided that he only needed God in difficult times. So he turned his confidence from God to himself. And in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 1, which we read, it says, he took all of Israel along with him. Now, this speaks of his kingdom, and his decision to turn from God created this ripple effect throughout all his kingdom, because the whole kingdom turned from God. He tried to prove himself by ruling in his own ability rather than through God, and God put him there in the first place, so it was destined to fail. And we can often do these things ourselves. We can pray for something. We can pray for a job, a position, an opportunity, something that would be impossible for us to do on our own. But then God answers our prayers and we take the credit. We don't give him the glory for what he's done. It's really easy for us to slip into that attitude. So if we look back at Rehoboam and his disobedience, we see how God responded to Rehoboam's disobedience. We see how God answered Rehoboam's elevation, self-elevation and self-glorification. God humbled him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 2 to 12, we find that God allowed the king of Egypt to come and take the cities of Judah. And when the leaders of Israel, including Rehoboam, humbled themselves and prayed when they were stuck in the city of Jerusalem, when they were surrounded, God spared them. It took another difficult time for Rehoboam to come back to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 to 19 says this, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Now, we all have a seat of lordship in our lives. This seat is where whatever or whoever is sitting is the center point of our worship. They sit there. So if we're following someone on social media and we're all about them, they might be sitting on the center point of, on the seat of lordship in our life. Or money. If we're constantly chasing money and we love it and we're worshiping it, that is sitting on the seat of lordship in our lives. It is who we listen to and who we follow. And obviously, Jesus should be sat on that seat. But it's so easy for us to lift ourselves up, to put ourselves into the seat of lordship in our lives, placing confidence in ourselves rather than God. When we do that, the only way for God to bring us back to a place of humility and to a place of relationship, true relationship with him, is to dethrone us so he can go back on the seat of lordship. Now, Rehoboam either didn't realize or didn't care to realize that putting himself into the seat of lordship in his own life, and by putting confidence in himself, that he led the rest of his people astray. When we fall, it very rarely impacts us alone. Consider all the lives that were lost in the battles against the Egyptians, trying to maintain hold on the kingdom of Judah. Consider all the hardship that was endured. All of this was because Rehoboam was too prideful to put his trust in God rather than himself. Now, we can go on about the failures of Rehoboam, and that is what we're studying in this series, his pitfalls. But this is a very common mistake we make ourselves, putting confidence in ourselves. It's a mistake that all of us have made at least once, believing that we can do everything ourselves and we don't need God. In fact, it's our nature as humans to take credit for ourselves. When we're making a decision, whether it be about a school, a job, a relationship, our ministry, where we live, our decisions should always be based on the direction of God. But it's so easy for us to rely on our fleshly desires and abilities and not being prayerful in decision-making will lead to that. And we find in the Bible the reason we fall so easily into this trap. It is our nature as humans to try and solely depend on ourselves. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." So this pride is from the world, not from God. And because pride isn't from God, he can't have any part of it. In fact, in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So when we pridefully put our trust in ourselves rather than God, the Bible says that God resists the proud. So God will resist us because we're telling him we don't need him. But Solomon, Rehoboam's father, tells us in the book of Proverbs how we can obtain prosperity. It says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path." So by trusting in God and leaning on him for help, for our lives, for leading in where we're going to go, he directs our path. And the path that he directs for us is better than any path that we could take on our own. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. And his plan is perfect in all of its ways. Now, the old saying goes, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We've all heard that said to us. But this is especially true when it comes to our pride. The more we elevate ourselves, the more we accomplish through our own self-reliance, the more we decide that we don't need God, when he brings us to a fall, when he humbles us, it's more disgraceful. When the kingdom we build around ourselves falls, it's bigger, it's more obvious. And that kingdom that we build based on ourselves will always fall. If we build it on worldly things, it will fall. Because the things of this world are always passing away. It's like sinking sand, and they all fall apart quickly. But if we build our lives on the rock and we make all our decisions based on God, then he is the rock of our salvation, and our plans, our lives, they won't fall apart. The Bible says that pride always comes before a fall, but if we humble ourselves before God, he becomes accountable for our success rather than ourselves. So we need to seek God at all times. At the beginning of his reign, Rehoboam faced a very difficult time. He was trying to establish his kingdom, gain power again after the tribes abandoned him, majority of the tribes too. He had to gain control. And in this difficult time, Rehoboam turned to God for help. He relied on him and God strengthened him, as we read. But when prosperity came, he turned from God. He began following the idols of the world and relying on the things he had and the things he knew he could do. But he needed God in times of prosperity as well. And we do too, in good times and bad. And you know what? God doesn't want to be our fallback in hard times, but not our fallback in good times. In fact, God wants to be our first point of call in good times and bad times. He wants to be the one we turn to when everything falls apart, but the one we turn to when everything is going amazingly well. He desires a genuine relationship with us, one that is sustained through the good times and the bad, where we are always seeking his face, his plan, and where we are always trusting in him. So to do this, we need to let go of the desire to prove ourselves. The desire to prove ourselves to other people, yes, but also the desire to prove ourselves to God. The need to show ourselves as worthwhile will always lead to a place of pride because we're trying to make ourselves look good. We'll want the things we accomplish to be put on us. We want to take credit for it and for ourselves to receive praise. But we don't need to prove ourselves to people or to God, because we know who we are in Jesus, and he's bought us at a price. We are his children, and we know that to him we are worth it, even though we know we're not. He sees us as worth it anyways. When Jesus was on earth, he didn't seek to prove himself. He didn't try talking himself up at all. Instead, he let his actions show who he was. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7 says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Jesus was humble above all things, and he had a servant's heart. He didn't need to humble himself. He didn't need to serve us, because he was God manifest in the flesh, but he did it anyways. He had nothing to prove, but he came to earth to show us love and the path back to God. And we know by his example that humility is the best way to live. In fact, trying to prove ourselves to others and to God as well elevates our own ability above God. And that's not what we want at all. Now, we also mustn't boast of our accomplishments or our destiny. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Everything we do, all our accomplishments, we do these things because of God. He put us in the place where we could accomplish them. He allowed us to. Going and fishing for compliments for our achievements, which I myself have done, and I know most of us have done too, that takes the credit and takes the attention off God and onto ourselves. You might have a great talent or an incredible future that God has promised you, so it will come to pass, but there's no need to brag about it. There's no reason to. God is the reason for these things and deserves the glory and the honor for them, because without him, these things won't come to pass. In fact, it is his promise that he deserves the glory for. They are his to take credit for, not ours. Now, of course, we need to take after Jesus, and he always put others before himself. So we need to do the same as well, and that shows our humility and keeps us humble. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus was the ultimate servant. He washed his disciples' feet. He ate with sinners. He served the people around him. And if we want to be like Christ, we need to serve others around us as well. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." If we go back to Rehoboam, we know that his elders encouraged him to be a servant leader, to be a minister, which means servant, to his people. And this is great advice. As Christians, we should serve the people around us at all times. We need to be there for each other through the love we show and by serving each other. And by doing this, we demonstrate our relationship with Jesus. John chapter 13 and verses 34 to 35, Jesus himself said this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." By this, all will know. By our love, everyone will know. By our service for each other, everyone will know. So serving others is critical. If Rehoboam had chosen to serve his people, he would have seen that serving God was the best way to go, but instead he served himself. He put himself first, sought after material things and relied in them, and his kingdom fell, or almost fell, to the Egyptians. But through all these things, we need to remain content. Content with what God brings into our lives, yes, and content with what he takes out of it as well. We need to accept that we are where we are because he brought us there. We are blessed with what we have because he gave it to us. We're blessed with what we don't have because he hasn't given it to us. And ultimately, we need to be content with the fact that he is enough for us. All the things in the world could pass away and we could only have Jesus, but he would still be enough. In Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13, it says this. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." In Jesus' ministry, if you read his life in ministry, you see that he's homeless, actually. He went around city to city preaching and teaching, trusting that all would be supplied for him, knowing that he was taken care of. He was content with living simply. He was content with what he had, with what he was doing. And we must be the same. So often people use Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," as a way to say we are able to accomplish great things through Christ. We can do anything in him, which is true, yes, but we should also consider the context of this verse. Paul says, "I know how to be full, but I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to have lots of things, but I know what it is to have nothing." This verse doesn't speak so much about accomplishments, but about endurance. It says, no matter what, I can be content. And Paul says that in verse 11, "I have learnt whatever state I am to be content." And contentment is relying on God and shows him that we trust him. And that really is all we need to do, is to rely on him and trust that all things work together for good for those that love God. Whenever we need help, we should rely on God. When we accomplish great things, we should give the credit and the glory to God, because he moved through us and caused us to be able to do these great things. And we know when we need help, he is our great helper. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And if we don't, we put ourselves in the seat of lordship in our lives. We rely on ourselves. And that's not what we want, because that's a prideful action and God resists the proud. So we need to trust in God, rely on him, give him the glory for all things, and trust that he is going to take care of us, putting all our hope in things above. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you are the provider of all our needs, that you are the reason for our blessings, and that you help us in times of trouble. Lord, I pray right now that you would just remind us in the good seasons and the bad, on the mountaintops and in the valleys, Lord, that we need to turn to you, give you the praise and the glory for every season of life we're in, trusting in you, relying on you, having confidence in you, and having confidence in you and not relying on ourselves, knowing that you have accomplished great things and that through you we can do anything. Lord, be with us as we go now. Keep us safe till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of your week.